Blog Talk Radio.
And now, let's get the YouTubers caught up with us. Welcome to all of our brothers and sisters around the world. Wherever you may be joining us from, we are glad to have you with us. It's always a joy and a thrill to see your nation pop up in the comments of who's out there listening. And, you know, one of the most interesting things to me is, how did we even meet you? I want to know. I want to hear your story so that we can welcome you and be a blessing to you. You know, I say it almost every night, and that is, I want to help you get this translated into your native language. So send me an email, send me a picture that shows us who you are and how you listen to the program. And we'll use it as a prayer cloth and prayer partnership. Here we go. Going live. Good evening, YouTube. It's good to have you with us tonight, as it is every night. We thank you for being a part of this great network.
Good evening.
When you think about it, we actually have a network. It's not just a statement. We actually have a network where we are reaching out around this world with three different channels, four different channels, five different channels, I guess. And taking this gospel to the world. Look at there, Sister Leanne's with us tonight. It's always good to see your smiling face and your name pop up. We can't see you, though, because it's dark. Can you turn the sun back up a couple degrees? I mean, Joshua did.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Do you know that, hello, everybody.
Hello.
Dylan? I'm so glad you joined us tonight. We'll see how long it lets me stay connected. It doesn't usually do well on Zoom, but we'll see. Okay. It's good to see your smiling face.
Did we know what?
It's good to see you too. My phone Zoom still will not save the password. I have to manually put it in. It saves the meeting ID, but the password I have to put in every time.
Well, usually people that get filled with the Holy Spirit and start flowing in the gifts, they don't have to fight that anymore.
I'll work on that.
Oh, no, that's weird, because I don't ever have to put it in. Phyllis, do you have to put a password in every time?
To get on Zoom? Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah, it's weird. It took me a long time to recognize how it goes. It's a 1, and then you go up to make a capital C, and then it's a 9. And then you have to go up to make a capital D. And then you have to make sure you give a lowercase J. And then you have to go up to make a capital W.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well.
You know what? It's when you're a host, you don't have to. When I'm doing the show, I don't have to then.
Well, I personally, I think it's because of who I am.
Well, then I get to beat you sometimes, too.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's sure good to have you. And,
I don't have to use a password to get on my granddaughter's Zoom. She lets me in right away all the time. Just me call. For some reason, I'm just a part of it, and I don't have to use a password because she loves me.
We love you too, Phyllis.
Thank you, dear.
Now, for everybody that's listening and you're wondering, what in the world are these guys doing? We're just us having a good time here, getting everybody tuned up and ready so we can begin to have our program tonight. It's going to be a good program tonight. Going to be reading those chapters out of Hebrews about the blood of Jesus and the new covenant and what he did for us and redemption. And you're not going to want to miss this tonight at all. So make sure you get yourself connected here on Zoom or Blog Talk Radio or YouTube so that we can be a blessing to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you tried signing in and you didn't get in, try again. Of course, you can't hear me because you didn't get in, but just keep trying till you get there because no matter what, we want you to be a part of what's going on here. And thank God for his wonderful, abundant blessings of these great technologies. You know, when you think back, just go back, you know what, 10 years? Think about just 10 years ago, how much progress we've made in our ability. I mean, I tell you guys the story on a regular basis, but I remember my dad back in the 70s wanting to go on the radio and have a Sunday morning radio program, wired the whole church up for it. And it was like $700 a week.
Wow.
It was amazingly expensive. And you think right now we're broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio for $39 for a month. For a month, we can preach for 3 hours a night for a month for $39. And thank God for that capability. We truly do thank you, Father, for that capability. And, you know, we can't take for granted what we have. And the challenge that people face is when we're doing this every day, it's real easy to become very familiar with it. And one of the toughest battles we all will ever win is the battle of familiarity, because you get to where you do it so much out of habit because you've reached that next level that you don't do it from anointing and you don't do it from the blessing of the Lord in our lives. And so God, help us always to be flowing in your anointing, walking with you and being found in the presence and power of Almighty God and everything that we do in Jesus' mighty, mighty, holy, awesome name. I think about Jesus coming back. And 2,000 years ago, he said to the disciples, "The fields are white unto harvest." And if he said that 2,000 years ago, much more white are they now. And I heard a great preacher of the gospel the other day make this statement. The problem isn't that the fields aren't white. The problem is that you and I are in the wrong field trying to convince somebody to receive God that right now doesn't want him. There's nothing to do for that person except pray for him. But we should be found in the fields where those who are longing for God are. And we say it again tonight, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, take this signal that we have right here tonight. Take it to the people that are hungering and thirsting for this message. Help every person that's with me that has a slight case of apathy to resist it and to walk away from it and get a hold of themselves and cause themselves to grow and develop in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray this right now. Father, You are great. You are great. You do miracles so great. So tonight, bring them. Bring us, bring by our group of believers, 50 or 100 people that are just starving for the word. Cause it to inspire all of us to grow and develop in you in ways we've never grown. Thank you that, Holy Spirit, you inspired John and Peter and James and Paul. You inspired them all to say, don't get sluggish. Don't sit down. Don't slow down. Enter in and continually ask God for a new disciple that you can lead into the kingdom of God, who's hungering and thirsting for everything that you know. We call it done in Jesus' mighty, awesome, wonderful name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, if you come early, I'm going to be playing these prophecies about Michigan and speaking them every day. I'm speaking them in the morning and speaking them at night. And God being my help, I'm trying to play it in my house out loud once an hour, or wherever I'm at once an hour. But that's a little more of a daunting task right there. But why? Because the prophets have spoken. And when you believe the prophet, you prosper. When the prophet speaks, then it gets to come to pass. And these two utterances about Michigan are mighty utterances that must be released every day into the atmosphere to see God do the work that he's wanting to do right now in Jesus' mighty name. I like that prophecy. The church, the ecclesia, has been lacing up his boxing glove. Because the mitt of Michigan, the mitt, he's not using it as his hand anymore or a mitten. It's turned into a boxing glove. And he's about to deliver a fatal blow to some wicked agendas forever until the coming of Jesus. And Michigan and the United States of America will be painted red like the blood of Jesus. We say it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, I was not going to do this tonight, but you can tell the Holy Spirit is saying, do it. So, we're just obedient. We just got enough sense. What in the world is that? Sorry, it's just technology. It's really no big deal. It just makes you look at it like, huh. Wonder why that showed up. Well, it showed up because you clicked on it. So here we go. Let's make our faith confession tonight. There we go. Rise together with me. And we'll make our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who paid that last full measure of devotion, those who in their lifetime, at some point, have, because of combat, carried now the scars of battle in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. This moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. It'll last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. Now, if you will, I'm not going to sing it tonight, but speak this song with me. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Thank you, Father, for your blessing on the great state, on the great nation of America. But we don't want to just be great with money, great with commerce, and great with education. We want to be great with your presence in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests unto God by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And now let's bless the nations of the world that are with us tonight. God bless the nations of the world to hear the word of faith. We bless thee, our partners, and each believer in these nations. United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Niger, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Uganda, Tunisia, Oman, United Arab Emirates, New Zealand, Australia, New Guinea, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, Samoan Islands, Thailand, India, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, Belgium, France, Portugal, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Finland, Netherlands, Sweden, Estonia, Serbia, Czech Republic, Ukraine, Poland, Russia, Kazakhstan, China, and all the nations of the world. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all, but to each one of us. Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life every day. We bless the fivefold ministry and the body of Christ. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now, we join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. God bless America. As we the people, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. From the Declaration of Independence on July 4th. And now, the statement we make every day, the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, I speak this over every patriotic event that's happening tonight, every political rally that's going on right now, every church prayer service, church service, youth rally, youth service, every conference that's gathering for whatever purpose, men's meeting, women's meeting, youth meetings, senior meeting, married couple meeting, we bless them and cause this prayer to get into their hand. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin, Lord. Heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And now the prayer binding secular humanism's effect because of their rebellion against God and his divine attributes. God our Father, in the name of Jesus, which is high above every name, high above every principality, every power, every might, every dominion, In the name of Jesus, we stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, and we bind the effects of the demonic actions of humanism that have dared to try to take root in our nation. We declare that the ecclesia, God's governing body of authority on the earth, we have repented of our sins. We are seeking your face. We have risen up and we are prophesying and proclaiming boldly the word of God against this rebellion. Say it boldly with me. We bind the perverse spiritual forces behind humanism, declaring that by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, the humanistic agenda and all of its yokes are destroyed by the word of truth. All of its efforts are dead from the roots up. And the believers will say like the disciples, "Master, that tree we cursed is dead." And he'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. With your authority, might, dominion, and empowerment, we have prophesied the end of the humanistic agenda." The voices of the ecclesia will continually become louder than the voices of the humanist abomination. We are the righteous, and we are as bold as the lion of the tribe of Judah in us. We raise our voices louder than the government because we know as we pray, you hear our voice in heaven, and their voice is only heard by man on earth. We know you hear our prayers. We know we have the petition that we ask. We know you're baptizing the body of Christ with power from on high to contend for the faith and take authority over this force of wickedness. We declare deliverance and salvation comes today to those who have been bound by its deception. We believe that all across this land, a powerful demonstration of your ecclesia will be seen continually. We ask for it. We declare it. We prophesy it in Jesus' name. Excuse me. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, that might be new to you. You might not have ever been a part of a ministry where they make a declarative faith prayer confession like that before. But the power of it is that you and I join together in agreement with our words spoken right out loud. Even though I'm the only one saying it here at the ministry, you say it at your house. And say it out loud and say it boldly, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. Well, the defeat of the enemy comes by him hearing the word of God coming out of our mouth. And the power of life and the power of death, the power of binding and the power of loosing is in our tongue, because Jesus gave us those keys. And that's how we win these battles that we fight on a daily basis. You know, somebody said to me, "Well, Pastor, the prophet made the proclamation that America would be saved, so that's all we got to do." It's just not the case. That is just not the case, because it takes more than just the prophet declaring the declaration to win the battle. We actually have to fight a battle and win just like it's a war. And we are, and we will, but I encourage you to get very bold and very, very determined to Just speak the word right out loud. Because when you do, one puts 1,000 to flight. Two of us put 10,000 to flight. And he didn't give us the next number because he knew that we would be saying things that we shouldn't be saying. Goodness sakes alive. Let's get this to Brother Roger Oxy. That down there. Put that right there. Rebecca Smith is with us. Sister Lan's with us on YouTube. Sister Phyllis is with us on blog on Zoom. All our friends are with us on Blog Talk Radio. And tonight, we're going to go right to the Word of God because we've got an interesting set of verses for us to read tonight. I want to read our foundation verses again just because they're so valuable. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the blood of Jesus. Our study so far has been on the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But tonight, we're going to be focused on Jesus and what he did when he shed his blood. Now, as I was looking at this today, the word blood appears in the New Testament. I forget how many times in the New Testament. Don't remember. But in the book of Hebrews, the word blood exists. Let me take a look here. The word blood exists 100 times in the New Testament. All right? So when you go to the book of Hebrews, 21 of those times are found in the book of Hebrews. All of them except one verse are found in chapters 9, 10, 11, and 13. And so in four chapters, the word blood is used 21 times. And tonight, that's what we're going to study. Because it doesn't do us any good to speak what a preacher speaks if we don't speak the word of God. Thank God for preachers. Thank God for men of God who lead us. I want you to believe me. I really do. All right? But I would never say you have to believe me whether or not I can back up what I'm saying. I will never ever say that to you because that's a foolish statement. It is your duty to go and begin to study what I bring to you as verses of scripture. It's your duty to do it so that you will know the truth so that the truth can set you free. And I encourage you. I beckon you. I beseech you. I command you. I implore you. I don't know any more King James words. Study these verses. Because if you don't even know where the verses exist, how will you know how to fight with them in the spiritual battle that you got to win? And the two greatest forces of our lives are the blood of Jesus unto salvation and his righteousness that causes us to be able to live in the glory of God every single day of our lives. So we've just been studying righteousness, and the other half of righteousness is the blood. Some people would say the blood should have been studied first, but it doesn't matter. It's his blood that gives us his righteousness, and his righteousness presents us to the blood. And I'll get some stares on this, but they're interchangeable. That's probably not the right way to say it, but the blood makes the righteousness have power because your sins are forgiven and they're purged. And now you get to live in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's the free gift of righteousness. All right, here we go with our foundation verses. And, you know, for those of you that are with us online in one of the other apps, please make sure you type in the verses there so that people have a verse list that they can go by for that. Our first one is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 33 and 34. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34. Ready? Hold your Bible up and make this confession with me. My Zoomers, you ready? Make it with me. This is my Bible. Waiting on the Zoomers. They both went and got a cup of coffee at the same time.
I'm right here, but okay. I'm here now.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because He is the great I am. The Holy Spirit God, my resident teacher.
The Holy Spirit God, my resident teacher.
Is making His Word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the Word of God and plant Him as a seed.
I receive the Word of God and plant him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Now, let me give you a little, a small object lesson here. As you can see, this is a bag that is filled with cantaloupe seed. I opened up a cantaloupe, and when I did, I'm like, wow, look at all those seeds that's in there. So I thought, well, you know, whenever you see a spiritual principle, take the time to stop and study it and get the revelation. And of course, Jesus said the greatest parable is talking about seed in soil producing a harvest. That's not money. That's the soil of your heart having the seed of God's word planted on the inside of it and that seed producing a hundredfold return. So I thought, well, you know what? This is one cantaloupe. I'm going to dry them seeds out and get it where I can count them and see just how many seeds there are in this inside of this one cantaloupe. One. So.
You could plant them.
Well, yeah, it's probably a hybrid, so they probably wouldn't grow unless you used your faith. But, so I went and studied cantaloupe a little bit, and it takes three seeds. We're going to say three seeds to plant a hill for the plant to grow. All right. And where did my notes go? Cantaloupe. I got this on a note. Anyways. So you get two or three seeds per hill. And each hill produces 4 to 8 melons each hill. So I had in this packet, I had 663 seeds in that one cantaloupe. So you divide that by three, that gives you 231 hills times 4 is 924 cantaloupe that would grow from this bag of seed. 924 at the bottom end and 1,850 at the top end. Now, well, what's that saying, Pastor? That's saying when Jesus said that the God's word planted in our heart will produce a hundredfold, this isn't a hundredfold. This is just, well, It says, how many is that? Three, and there's 600. This is 200-fold. All right. So can you imagine how big a field it would take you to plant 231 hills of cantaloupe? That'd be a big field. That's a little bit bigger than your tomato patch you got out behind the house. It'd probably take you a couple acres. And from that couple acres,
half an acre.
Well, we plant a patch of corn, and then in between each stalk of corn, we plant a cantaloupe.
Do you really?
That's because for the roots, the way the roots go and hold the soil in place and everything. Yeah.
I wish everyone knew how to grow a garden.
So you plant it, you plant the cantaloupe right with the corn?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't the corn put too much shade out?
No.
How far apart are your corn rows?
How far apart are the rows? Well, it's enough. It's a couple of feet from the corn in this row to the corn in that row because you have to walk between them.
Right. Huh. Very interesting. I wouldn't have thought that that would grow. And once again, you and I have just learned another principle about seed. I mean.
Well, it might just be a principle about growing things in the swamp when you have a limited amount of space.
Yep.
And you don't want things to be in the water. Right. You have to have good drainage, but you have to have a lot of water. And you have to be good drainage. So you want the cantaloupes and you fix the vines so the cantaloupes will be on top of the row and not down in the ditch.
That's amazing. So, that's amazing. But here's the principle. The principle is this. Every seed has its own process of growth. And every seed's got to have water, sunlight, and dirt. You know, it's got to have heat and sunlight and moisture in order to make it. And I would have never thought they'd even grow, but see, what we got is in that situation, that seed adapts what they're doing, and it obviously works because Phyllis didn't have to open up a book and say, well, this is what I think you do. You can tell this is how they do it, and it works very, very effectively. The Word of God, this is the power of what I just showed you. The Word of God is a seed that we plant in the good soil of our hearts, and it is going to produce on that same level that I just showed you in this bag right here. It's going to produce a 100-fold return and more. Can you imagine out of 1,800 cantaloupe, how much? How big a field you'd have to have? That
my
would
mom
be.
Mom would have been happy with those. She loved them.
Oh yeah, and see, that's the power of what we're doing here by putting the Word of God in you every single night. Now let's get to our opening verses, or I'll be on this all night, and I got to get to these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 33 and 34. This is from. The Apostle Paul is teaching us here. Do not be deceived. Evil companions corrupt good behavior. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God, and I speak this to their shame. Now, I can preach it again, but we've already done it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 21. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Verse 21, for he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin to become the sin sacrifice for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You become the righteousness of God once you are born again and made into a new creation. Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 13. Romans 10, 6 through 13. And let's see, I'm missing a verse there in my notes. Romans 10, 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks this way. Righteousness of faith speaks this way. How? Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven to bring Christ down from above, who will descend into the abyss to bring him up from the dead. But what does it, righteousness, say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith that we speak. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Righteousness comes to us by believing and receiving, just like salvation does. It is one of the great mysteries of the New Testament that is so profound, many people never get it. First Corinthians, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To them, you and me, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And what is this mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's not a God way out there somewhere. He is your Father and your God, and he comes to live inside of you by the Holy Spirit of God. John chapter 14, John chapter 17, Jesus said over and over that we might be one, just as he and the Father are one, and they would come and make their abode within us. Wow, I just added another verse to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Huh. Anyways, the next verse, 1 John chapter 3, verses 3, 6, and 9. 1 John chapter 3, verses 3, 6, and 9. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he, that's capitalized, Jesus, is pure. Well, how you get that purity? Not by your self-effort, that's self-righteousness, by receiving Jesus' work that he did. Verse 6, whoever abides in him, Jesus, does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. You need to get a revelation of where your relationship is. Verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin. And he cannot sin because he's been born of God, and the old man has been crucified, severely crucified by Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 8, 7. 1 John 1, 7 through chapter 2, verse 2. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, watch this, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, really, to purge us from all unrighteousness. He washes away the unrighteousness, and in his place, he fills you with Jesus' righteousness. You never just get something from God. He takes you from where you were to what you're going to be. It's one of the greatest principles of the New Testament. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But once you've been born again, you don't call yourself a sinner anymore. You call yourself a saint. Bible tells you to do that. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin, so that you will not sin, so that you do not sin, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Who is it? Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who lives inside of you with all of his righteousness. And he himself is the propitiation of our sins, not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 17. I'm going to add this to my foundation verses here because the Holy Spirit's telling me to do it. Romans 5, 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through that one, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. We receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. And don't you just love it that we get to say we receive the free gift of righteousness. Romans 6, 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with it. Romans 6, 6. That the body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. And then Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life and Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Now, let me see if I can do this without having any noise here. Let's hope so. I just got a notification on my phone here or on my computer that lightning happened right in the middle of a snowstorm. If that doesn't tell you what kind of day we're living in, you ought to wake up right there when it's starting to lightning and thunder during a snowstorm.
They call that thunder snow.
I don't know what they call it, but I've lived a long time on this earth, and I can't tell you I've seen that happen too many times. Whether you call it lightning snow or thunder, to me that's weird, but that's what Jesus said was going to happen all across this world. Now, let's go to our verses in Hebrews chapter 8 and 9. Now, you know how I've been doing this. I've been going and saying, how many times does this verse exist in the Bible? And or this word? And then I come back and I tell you guys about it. And then it's not too many days after that, and we're studying it. So I did that today because I know we're getting ready to study Hebrews 8, 9, and 10. And, of course, I know that that's about the blood of Jesus, and it's about redemption. Well, the blood of Jesus, or the word blood in the New Testament, is 90 times. 21 of those times is in the book of Hebrews. Just like 36 times the word righteousness is used in the book of Romans. Well, that lets us know you and I need to be studying and reading those verses in Romans and reading the verses in Hebrews so that we can get a revelation of exactly what the Holy Spirit of God is saying. I know that we're pretty solid and you must be born again doctrine here in the United States of America, but can you quote me any verses about the blood out of the book of Hebrews? Now, I could probably quote you 6 or 7 with a reference, but there's 21 of them in the book of Hebrews. And after having been in the around the kingdom for 59 years, I can't quote every one of these verses about the blood from the book of Hebrews. And you know what that says to me? Sam, you better get your Bible open, because you're going to stand before Jesus one of these days and you're going to be judged by this book. Well, naturally, the first thing that happens when you and I start reading these verses is we're like, oh, that verse says that, and it begins to break through on you and I the revelation of who God is in the Word of God, not just a religious thought process that came from some theologian 50, 75, 200, 400 years ago. Thank God for theologians. Thank God they made it simple for us. But we got to grow past what they know, or we're going to fail Jesus and the people that are around us. If our thought process is still 400 years ago with Luther, it's time to get the crusty, dusty stuff out and come to the new revelation that God has given to the body of Christ all over the world. It'd be different if nobody had a new revelation since Luther. But they did. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Martin Luther. I'm not down on Wesley or Finney or Moody or any of them. I'm not down on humans. But I know when we stand before Jesus, we're going to have Rome. And if we're not, then we're going to have to give an account of not growing. Well, my account's going to be a good account because I'm going to have studied this book and done my best to share it with everybody who will sit down and listen to me long enough that I can tell them. So last night we read Hebrews chapter 6, 7, and 8. We learned about Melchizedek. We learned about Jesus' priesthood. I want us to go back to chapter 8, and we're going to read 8, 9, and 10 tonight. Hebrews chapter 8, 9, and 10. I want you to circle every time you see the word righteousness or the word righteous or the word blood. You circle it in your Bible, highlight it, whatever you do, so that our eye begins to pick this up as we hear people preaching. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 1. Now, this is the main point of the things which we are saying. We have a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. That's where our high priest is sitting today. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. So there's a tabernacle there. It's got the mercy seat in it. It's got all the stuff of the tabernacle in it, all of the different parts and furniture. It looks what Moses built here is what was up there. Verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, that he's capitalized, that's Jesus, he would not be a priest, since there are no priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and the shadow of the heavenly things as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make things according to the pattern shown me on the mountain. But now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he also is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. And it's established on the blood of Jesus that once and for all was shed for you and me. And Jesus was the faithful, righteous high priest. He did what he did without sin, so that on that day when he said it's finished, the veil of the temple would be rent from top to bottom. The Holy of Holies would be available for everyone. And he would land in hell, a righteous man, dump sin and sickness and all of its stuff, and then deal with sin and deal with Satan once and for all because of the power of who he is. Keep reading. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second covenant. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, their days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Remember, Jesus isn't of the tribe of Judah, or of the tribe of Levi. He's of the tribe of Judah. Verse 9, not according to the covenant that I made with their father in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, I disregarded them, says the Lord. Now, if you want to write Exodus 12 right there by verse 9, that's where God led them out of Egypt, Exodus 12. I like to put little things in there like that so that the next time I'm preaching it, if I need to know where to go, I already got it right on the side of my page, and I can just buzz right over there and know exactly where it is.
My Bible already has the reference right there.
Does it really? That's cool. I like that. I love it when that happens. Now, let's go to verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Now, he's talking to them, but he's talking to you and me. I will put my law in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, you also see that in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 18. He will be our God, and we will be his people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Thank you, Jesus. In that, he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So you and I live in the new covenant. I'm so glad. For such a time as this, Jesus put me here now, not back in Moses' day. I've had some people say, man, I'd love to have been alive in Moses' day and walk through the Red Sea. I don't know. You'd have to have been in the right tribe or you'd have died in the wilderness. Thank God I'm on this side of the cross in the mighty name of Jesus. I mean, it'd been cool to walk through a big sea, but we'll do something like that in the future, probably.
Well, remind me to tell you sometime about the when God saved my life and my friend Elaine, and it was ever so much like being there and him opening up the Red Sea and the land dried out for my safety.
Well, just tell us. Don't talk about it. Tell us.
Oh, but it's a long, exciting story.
Wait, just for everybody to know, here is an honest mother of ours who says, I can't tell this short. It will take me a long time. So we're going to hear Phyllis's story, but I'm going to read my verses first because I do have an assignment.
Okay.
Thank you, Phyllis. Chapter 9, verse 1. But everybody remind me to tell this story when we get done. Indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared for the first part, in which was the lampstand, the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things, we cannot now speak in detail. Well, neither can I. But what you see is the earthly sanctuary was an example of what is actually in heaven. Verse 6. Now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sin committed in ignorance. So he had to take blood with him. And if he wasn't covered in blood effectively, as soon as he walked through that gate, the door, he died. Bam. Just like that. Why? Because you had to be covered by the blood. They weren't redeemed. They were just covered by the blood of the Lamb. Everybody pause.
Did you ever think that was why Jesus on the Mount of Olives, when he prayed before he was crucified, he prayed in so much grief and stress that his sweat glands sweated out big, huge drops of blood, because his whole body had to be covered with blood. Every speck of his skin had to be covered with the blood. And that was before they ever put the crown of thorns on his head to make sure that every hair on his head was wet with blood.
And so not only was Jesus covered with the blood, but he was righteous. So he was covered with blood. He was righteous. But now watch this. We're going to read it here in verse 22 that says, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. What was Jesus going through in the garden when he shed all that blood? He was surrendering his will to the Father, knowing what was coming. Now watch this. Jesus didn't worry as much about the beating as the separation from the Father, because he was going to be separated because of the sin for a period of time from the Father. And of course, that had never happened in Jesus' life, ever, even in the womb with Mary. He'd never been separated from him. But watch this. Jesus was surrendering his will in the garden. So when you and I are having trouble surrendering our will, you and I can say, Jesus already shed his blood when he surrendered his will, and therefore my sin, or the sin that's trying to overpower me, the blood's already been shed, and that sin in my life is in remission and has no power over me. Jesus already shed his blood there. Thank you, Sister Phyllis, bringing it up. Powerful, powerful word. And he was covered with the blood. Yeah, I want you to think about it. Every soldier that grabbed a hold of his arm, what did he grab a hold of?
A bloody arm.
The blood of Jesus.
Absolutely.
He grabbed a hold of the blood of Jesus. And when they took his robe off of him, what was on that robe? The blood of Jesus. All the way through that, Jesus is redeeming those men to the degree that they, many of them said, this is the Son of God. This is, let's keep reading. I'm in verse number, let's do 7 again. Oh, look what time it is. Into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sin committed in ignorance. Think about the high priest. He had to offer blood for himself. Aren't you glad that Jesus offered it for you and me?
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifice are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience, concerned only with foods, drinks, various washings, fleshly ordinances imposed till the time of the Reformation or the New Covenant. Verse 11. What's the first word? But. That's what it is in my Bible. It might not be that in your Bible. So every time you see a but in the English language, that means having said all of that, this is what's true. Many times, but cancels what we just said. Watch this. But Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come. He showed up in the fullness of time. God sent the fullness of his son Jesus to pay the full price so that you and I could be set free forever. Now watch. I'm going to read 11 again. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. With his own blood, he obtained eternal salvation or redemption for all. Title on Blog Talk Radio and Zoom or on YouTube. It says he obtained eternal salvation. And the right word is redemption. I just didn't have enough room in my text box to fit the word redemption. It was too many digits, too many letters. But watch this. Once for all. Circle it. Highlight it. Underline it. Something. Jesus did it once for all. Jesus suffered once for all. Jesus bore the stripes on his back for our healing once for all. One time he did it, and it covered every human everywhere when he did. I want you to think about that, because the very fact that God would cause Jesus to suffer such a severe punishment and then he took all of sin, death, and hell to the grave. Here comes the revelation. you and I got to look and say, none of this is of my works. Because then I could boast about it. See, all of us were born in sin. So we were born into sin. And therefore, we were born sinning. Jesus didn't have the nature of Adam. Jesus had the nature of his father and his mother, Mary. Seed came from father. The womb came from Mary. And Jesus was born into this earth once for all. When you and I get this down deep in our heart, that Jesus did it once for all, we will no longer put up with suffering or persecution or trials or tests or any of the rest of this garbage that we end up putting up with, saying, well, I'll just bear it for Jesus. No, you won't. He did it once for everybody. He doesn't need you bearing anything for him. You don't have the nature without his nature. You don't have within you any redemptive factor without his redemption. You don't have any righteousness on the inside of your being without having first received Jesus' righteousness. So Jesus did it once and for all. And when we get that down deep into our understanding, we'll quit putting up with tests and trials and persecutions and acting like we've got to bear it for some reason, for Jesus to prove something. No, he already bore it. The work has been done for 2,000 years. And all you and I got to do is receive it. Keep reading. Well, I'm going to read 12 again. 12 is one of my most favorite verses. Now, let me see. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7, talks about the high priest going with blood. Verse 12, we have the word blood, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Redemption means by the blood of Jesus, he bought you back from sin. Redemption is a financial term. Like Dr. Winston says, redemption isn't complete without financial stability. 13, if the blood, here's the word blood again, of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. So all that did, purify the flesh and cover the sin. 14, how much more, there's our Pauline statement again, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, also cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, or so that you can serve the living God. The blood of Jesus purges your conscience of everything that happened to you in your past and all the sins that you did. You can't tell me Jesus is going to tell you to remember all your sins and name them one by one so that you can be forgiven. He's not going to do that. Well, Pastor, who would tell me to do that? You tell me who wants you to bring up all your sin. It's not Jesus. Can I get a big amen or something?
Amen.
It's not Jesus.
Amen.
See, the enemy is the one that wants to bring up your sin, not Jesus. Once you're born again, it's under the blood. It's thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. God is not going to cause you to remember your sins. That is a deceiving spirit that does not come from God. Anybody home? Amen, Pastor. Keep on preaching. You're doing good. Well, we're just reading the Bible and letting the Bible say what the Bible says. 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he, Jesus, is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. And Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, there's a whole group of people today that says it doesn't have anything to do with you whether or not you're born again. Usually that group of people are in the deep south, and they've fallen off the wagon of Baptists, of the severely strict way out there, extreme Baptists. And we love Baptists. John the Baptist was a Baptist. All right? So we don't have nothing against the Baptist church, but you got to think a little bit deeper, and you got to actually open up the Bible and read it, because Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look at what it says. He paid the price once for all. Well, when you use the word all, it has a very interesting definition in the Greek, which is what this New Testament was written in. You know what all means in the Greek?
Everything.
It means all. All means all. And he's talking about people. So this gospel was available for everybody. Romans chapter 1 says, nature itself. Do you see outside that window? Nature itself is going to tell you about the deity of Almighty God. Nature itself. Well, I'm going to read all these verses, and I'm going to want to read them all over again. Let's read 14. We'll start there. I'm going to get all the way through chapter 9 tonight. I know I am. 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse, purge your conscience from dead works, so that you can serve the living God? Now let's go real quick over here to my e-sword. Let's just search this verse up. I'll flip it up here where everybody can see it. Might as well just share the screen, do a little Bible study on the e-sword tonight. This is Hebrews chapter 9. And that verse is number 14. So we'll click on it. Chapter 9, go down here to 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Let's put it into parallel. Let's read it in the Amplified. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who by virtue of his eternal Spirit, his own pre-existent divine personality, has offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice to God, purify our consciences from dead works and lifeless observances to serve the ever-living God? Look what it says in the King James. That's the third verse is over. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works? So the word that God is using is not just clean it, but purge it. make it so it doesn't even, you can't tell there's any trace of it ever existing before. Now, let's switch our translation, and we'll go up here to the King James Plus, and let's look at the word purge. You can see Hebrews 9:14. I've clicked on it. I'm going to go over here to the word purge. You'll see it says G2511. It means to cleanse, to purge, to purify. Now let's go down here to the Thayer. To make clean or cleanse from physical stains and dirt. A leper to cleanse by curing. To remove by cleansing. To be free from defilement of sin and from faults. To purify from wickedness. To free from guilt of sin. To purify. To consecrate by cleansing or purifying. And the second definition, to pronounce clean in a Levitical sense. That's what the word means. Now, catharizo. It comes from the word catharsis, to cleanse. Now, here's the cool thing about this verse. The word purge is actually used, you'll see it right here, 30 times in the New Testament. The leper said to Jesus, if you will, you can make me purged. And as the leper went, immediately he was purged. Jesus said, heal the sick, purge the lepers. Matthew 11, the lepers are purged. Matthew 23, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you purge the outside, but not the inside. So there's a bunch of verses in the Gospels about it. And then you go down here to the book of Ephesians, that he might sanctify and cleanse or purge it, the church, with the washing of the water of the word. Now, let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to the New King James. Let's get back here to where we are. And thank God for purging. I love it. 16. I'm going on. I'm getting this chapter done tonight. All everyone in agreement, shout a big amen.
Amen. Amen.
Roger, where are you? We miss you.
Where's Roger?
He's probably got the grandkids out for supper. It's Friday night, so that's probably where he's at. Verse 16, for where there's a testament, there must also of necessity to be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without the blood. So he still had that blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, hyssop, sprinkled both the book itself and all the people. I wonder about the phrase, all the people, because a million people's a lot to sprinkle. Maybe he had some folks helping him. Verse 20, and he said, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Now, you and I say, in the communion, this is the blood of the new covenant. by which you're purged. And that's Jesus' blood. 21. Likewise, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle, all the vessels of the ministry. Verse 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But Jesus shed his blood. So what does that mean? That means there is remission of sin. So without shedding of blood, there's no remission. So conversely, with the shedding of blood, Jesus' blood, sin will be placed into remission in your life. Here's the cool thing about remission. It's not like cancer. It can't come back. If it's under the blood and it stays under the blood, you don't walk away from God, it ain't ever coming back. It's gone. It's forever thrown into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. Verse 23, therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So that means Jesus' blood had to go to heaven. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true. But Christ entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now once, I love that, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, over here we read verse 12, once and for all. Once for all, Jesus did it. And then once at the end of the ages, same period of time. 27, as it is appointed for men to die once, after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, to those who eagerly await for him. He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation, and you and I will go with him. Now, I am going to hook all my wonders together. Now, I'm going to go back to my e-sword again. Just watch, right now, while we're having our Bible study here, whoops, watch this. Share the screen. Search that word, once for all. And we'll put it in a phrase. And that phrase is used 5 times in the New Testament. Now, give me just a second. I haven't figured out any better way to copy this than this right here, but that's all right. I'm going to grab those and stick them in my notes here. And this is once for all. And just like that, they're in my notes. Now let's read them together. Because this is what we're studying. This is how you get this Bible, Word of God, down in your heart. For the death that he died, Romans 6:10, he died to sin. Whoops. Didn't mean to do that. He died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Now, death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died was once for all. Let me see if I can highlight that different color. Yes. Make it stand out once for all. Let's go back to our search. Hebrews chapter 7. All right. Yep, that's going to make it jump right over there like that. Well, all right. Hebrews chapter 7. Who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's, for thus he did once for all. Thank you, Jesus, that you did it once for all when he offered up himself. Let's read the next one. Verse 12, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Amazing. Why don't they have the next one highlighted? Hebrews 10:10. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. Jude, verse 3. Look at here, fellas. Here's a Jude verse. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. You want to say it with me? Once for all, I received the work Jesus did.
Once for all, I received the work that Jesus did.
Well, look at you. Everybody just pause for a minute. You got to deal with somebody over here trying to be a stupid. There we go. Father, whoever that person was, they came here and they listened for a while. And in the mighty name of Jesus, may everything I said radically transform their life, and forever may they be delivered from pornography in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For those of you that watch our program, if you're ever on YouTube anywhere, and you see a really weird message that just doesn't make sense, don't ever click on it, because that will be pornography. We don't want it. We don't put up with it. As soon as we see it, it's crushed, and they're never allowed to come back again, because they're just spammers, and they get paid for people clicking. And so, in Jesus' mighty name, don't ever do it. If you're ever watching a video and you find some of it on a video you're watching, please share that video immediately with me in Messenger. Just click the share button and here, I'll show you. Thank you, Lord. We get to share our screen like this. Over here on the YouTube side, you click that share button, and it's going to give you the ability to share on Messenger. Well, it used to. Goodness sakes alive. Why you got to be stupid? Anyways, you used to be able to share it on Messenger, but just click copy like that. It'll copy it to your phone or your computer, your tablet, and then put it in an instant message to me. And that way I can get it and get it deleted quickly, and it's no longer there for somebody unknowingly to click on. Now, I'm going to read these verses again just because I like them so much. Because It sets the doctrine upright for us to believe in the work that Jesus did. It is amazing to me how many people will look at me and say, Pastor, you're just not teaching this right. Everybody's going to sin. It doesn't matter who you are. You're going to sin. It's just the way it is. Jesus don't care. His grace covers it. It has no effect on his blood when you sin. And that's just not the Bible. See, when you get this revelation about the blood, about righteousness, about Jesus doing it once for all himself, you will never again, ever in any way want in anything to do with any sin, because his righteousness will be so holy and pure on the inside of you. And if tonight you're sitting here saying, I'm not there yet, this is what I'm going to tell you every single time. I'm going to tell you, you keep pushing. What you've got to get is the revelation. Don't be discouraged. His blood works. It is designed for those who sin. It's designed to cover, and it's designed to purge, but it's also designed to empower you to receive the revelation. You know, there's no reason to spend 6 more months in it. Open up your Bible and start studying these last 10 messages. Well, Pastor, that's a lot of work. How many more days do you want to sin? I don't want to sin. I gave myself diligently to this study. Why? I don't want to sin. I don't want to even be close to sin anywhere, not even in motives or thoughts. I don't want to be close to it anywhere. So I gave myself to a diligent search, and then the revelation hit. And that revelation will hit for you as soon as you study it. I read 3 words, and then I started preaching. Here we go. 23, therefore, as 9:23, it was necessary that the copies of the things that in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, man's hands, which are copies of the true, but he entered into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God. Jesus took his blood and went to the mercy seat in heaven and put the blood on the mercy seat. Gathered all of his blood, went to heaven, put that blood on the mercy seat. And that blood still speaks in me right now today. Oh my. 25, not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. See, it doesn't say since the crucifixion, because Jesus is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Somebody help me find that verse reference where that's at. Jesus is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 1. Watch. From the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the end of the ages, he's appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as is appointed for men once to die, after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Now, I'm going to start chapter 10. Just for the sake of getting it started, so that when we come back next time, tomorrow night, now I got a couple questions I got to answer, but that's okay. We'll answer them. But that way we're working on this. Watch this. Chapter 10 begins with animal sacrifices being insufficient. And then we're going to get to Christ's death perfects the sanctified. And then, hold fast your confession, the just shall live by faith. And that's how we're going to end it up. Now, chapter 10, verse 1, For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. It can't. It's the blood of an animal. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? You had been made perfect and you wouldn't have to do it again. For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. That's why Jesus had to come and remove it. Jesus taught on earth, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, the Holy Spirit didn't inspire Matthew to write that, because Holy Spirit was just bored. He was laying back drinking a cool iced tea on the beach one day. And so he just said that. No, he said that verse on purpose because the Father said, write this in that book. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And when he said it, then it was made possible to be able to reach it. It was made possible. That means you get to be perfect by the blood of Jesus, which is perfect. By the righteousness of Jesus, which is perfect. By the Holy Spirit, which is perfect. See, all of a sudden, we're coming to this understanding. Hold it. When Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, it is completely possible to be perfect. All right. I'm done, but I got a Missourite here with me. I can tell. And I like you, Missouri people, because you guys help us dig in and get a depth of understanding of the Word of God. Now watch. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 through 16. Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, this is talking about the fivefold ministry, teaching us the word of God, helping us be established in the kingdom. Look what it says, verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, is in there. So faith is in you. Stop saying you don't have faith. He's in you. He is in you. And to the knowledge of the Son of God. This is what the fivefold is supposed to be doing, is bringing us to the knowledge of the Son of God. What's the next phrase? To a perfect man. Oh, I'm sorry. I know it's in the Bible, but of course, the Holy Spirit didn't mean a perfect man when he said it in Matthew 5:48 and in Ephesians 4:13. He didn't mean that. He just put it in there. He was just bored. And perfect seemed like a good word for him to say. But see, you can't make that statement. How are you going to become perfect? The knowledge of the Son of God, the Word of God, is going to make you perfect. You are going to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I just read you the verse out of the Bible. Quit resisting it. You go into deception when you see it in black and white, and then you resist. Now you're self-deceived. Because you walk away saying, nah, it doesn't really say that. You can't get any more clear than what I just showed you. You're going to come to the knowledge of the Son of God. That's going to make you a perfect man. Why? He's perfect. You're going to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Pastor, you just can't do that. You're human. No, no. You might be human because you ain't saved. Well, don't you say that to me. I just said it to you. Why? Because you're opposing the truth while I'm showing it to you. And you're like those people Jesus talked about going, nah, 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 nah. I don't want to hear what you're saying. Your heart has become dull. Your eyes you have closed. Your ears you have closed because you don't want to hear the truth because you're going to have to change your doctrine. Why would God say be perfect and then not help you be it? Why would he say be perfect and then not adopt you into his family so you could be perfect? You are not God who sits on the throne. You are not Jesus who sits next to him. But you are divine. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Peter said it. By these promises, you become partakers of the divine nature of God. Throw whatever you want. It can't reach me. And to continually teach people the other way, you know the truth. And you know you're not supposed to be teaching it. You better figure out what you're doing because you're going to stand before Jesus someday and give an account of every time you taught this book in a manner that you know is not the truth. Hello. Look what it says in 14, that we would no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, by the trickery of men. 15, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. He said, be holy and be perfect and grow up because you can be holy, perfect, and grow up. 1 John chapter 4, 17. As he is, so are you and I in this world. And just in case I didn't challenge you enough, remember that this is what the Bible says happens when we sin willfully. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice. It doesn't matter if you turn me off. You're going to stand in front of Jesus. You might as well listen and let me teach you so you can be free. No more sacrifice. A certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation that will devour the adversaries. Anyone who rejected Moses' law died without mercy on the testimony of two people stoned you in the street. Look up 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose it will be given to a man or a woman who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Pastor, that's not what I'm doing with sin. It's just a little sin. It's not like I really want to. I just do. You are trampling the Son of God underfoot. Now, don't hang up. Just listen to me. You count the blood of the covenant as a common thing. And you insult the Spirit of grace. What do I do? You got to get the revelation of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that you have been made into. And as soon as you get that revelation, you no longer will sin. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Awake to righteousness, and you will not sin. This is our whole series. I appreciate the Missouri people that showed up right here at the end, because I've got to help you get this truth. I've got to help you get it. Romans 6, 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified. Well, Was he crucified or wasn't he? Well, yeah, Pastor, he was, but well, no. Well, yeah, he was, but I still said every day in word, thought, and deed, then he wasn't crucified. You are, if you're born again, you're no longer a sinner, you're a saint. No, listen, most of all, don't be discouraged, and don't feel like I'm going to condemn you. I'm not. I'm going to help you. I'm going to stand here and help you make it, because I fought this thing for 50 years. Well, you know, 40 years, 38 years of my life, I fought this to come to this understanding. And I had so much religious gobbledygook covering up the word of God that I'd try to get it. I'd see it. I could see people enjoying it. And I was like, it doesn't make sense to me. I'm missing something here, Jesus. What is it? And I would go and I would fight and I would wrestle. But God always rewards those who diligently seek him. And he rewarded me. And that day, the brother Tim Wetland said, he's preaching and he says the righteousness of faith. And I'm like, after the service, I said, Brother Kim, what does that mean? And he looked at me like, I'll punch you right in the face. I'm like, don't punch me, man. I don't know what it means. He goes, how can you be a preacher and not know what it means? I'm like, I don't know. That sentence you said didn't make sense to me. I don't know. Oh, why? Sit down here in this pew and tell me what it means. In the American Holiness Campground on the front pew and over on the left side on the way out the door. He said, you ever notice that no matter how hard you try, you can't beat sin in your own strength? I'm like, well, everybody knows that. He goes, and Paul said our righteousness is as filthy rags? I'm like, yeah. He said the righteousness of faith is by faith you receive Jesus' righteousness, and then you will always function in righteousness perfectly. I jumped right up off the pew. Well, hallelujah, there it is. I have to receive by faith the righteousness of God. I've had people say, Pastor, don't quit telling that story. That makes shame. That don't make no shame. That tells the truth. The shame's the devil is who it's shaming. I fought for years to understand that truth. And if you knew it and you knew me, shame on you that you didn't come tell me. All right, no shame, because that's not of God. No, Steve, we've got to get this serious with it. Because as soon as that happens, you don't ever look at the other way again. You don't? Why? It's Jesus' righteousness, and it's more than enough. Now, all you got to do is get the revelation of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say it to you again for everybody that's here. You might say, Pastor, I'm not getting all these verses. Good. Here's what you do. Believe what I've just been teaching you for the last 10 messages. However, open up your Bible all by your lonesome. Set aside some time. Get rid of the distractions, because on the other side, those distractions are not going to matter. But this book is going to matter. Get your Bible app and search out every single time the word righteousness is used in the New Testament. Put away your theology book. Put away Dr. Reverend So-and-so's book. It don't matter. Open up your Bible and read the verses that say righteousness. And when you get done, if you believe the word of God to be the inerrant word, you will know what righteousness truly is, because he will lead you. Because he's in here. He is your resident teacher and here. And this book doesn't lie. 90 times the word righteousness is used in the New Testament. I better check that. The word righteousness is used. If you just read those verses and say, I believe that, I believe that, I believe that. Read a couple verses around it so you get the thought. By the time you get done, you will have the true biblical doctrine. My heroes are Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, Brother Copeland. He's one of my heroes, amazing man of God. But if you and I don't come to a better understanding of what those men have of this word, we fail them. You most certainly better have an understanding than a greater understanding than Charles and Wesley and Finney and Moody. Those men lived 200 years ago almost. You better have a greater understanding of the Word of God than what they did. Summerall said it all the time. Another one of my heroes, Lester Summerall. If you don't take what I have and do better with it, you fail yourself, you fail your generation, and you fail the work that I did I put into you. We've got to come to a greater revelation. Well, my goodness sakes, we've got every tool possible to man to understand this book. What I know, for some of you that are our community of faith family, you're like, wow, Pastor, you're going after this. I'm not going after you. You guys already know it. Thank you for sitting here saying amen. I can tell I got pastors listening to me tonight. I can tell by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And you've never yet really truly dove into the true word of God. You just teach your favorite scriptures. But if you can't quote by memory, from experience, 10 of the Hebrews verses on the blood of Jesus without looking, you don't have a good enough revelation. I can tell you right now, I can't. I cannot give you chapter and verse, 10 verses from the book of Hebrews that have the blood of Jesus in it. But there's 35 of them. We better get to studying, because we're going to stand in front of Jesus someday and we're going to give an account. Every single one of us. And we're going to think, I better put all the distractions out of my life, because Jesus is coming and I better have it right. For those of you that are pastors, there's double jeopardy if you teach the wrong thing and you know it. And if you teach the wrong thing and you won't go look for the right, double judgment. If you teach what's right, no matter what, double honor. Since COVID, there's no more playing games. You're playing a game, you won't make it. The devil will beat the living stuffings right out of you. You got to get serious with the Word of God. You got to teach people what the Bible really says. And I encourage you to do so. And this is cool. I'll be your friend. I'm being kind of straight right now, and I'm flowing in the Holy Spirit, I can tell. But I'll be your friend. Text me, email me. Say, Pastor, help me see it. I'm not trying to be your superior. I'm your brother. If you're a pastor, I'm a fellow pastor. God somehow helped me see this. And as I studied Dr. Summerall, I heard him say, man, you got to go to a greater level than me. Are you kidding me? I haven't even scratched the surface of the smallest, faintest picture of Lester Summerall in my life. Got a long ways to go. But faith comes by hearing the word. And the only way you're going to get there is that you got this word so deep in here. And when you stand out there, no enemy from hell can stop you. And there's no false doctrine in you. And you stand on the living, breathing word of God, because his word is hidden in here experientially. And you can use it like a wrench. Reassemble somebody's life. Tighten up that nut. I got this one here, needs a big one. I got to get the torque wrench on that one, get it just right. Need a hammer for this one. That's our place in Jesus Christ. Stand tall. Stand strong. Stand firm. Have no fear. I know I'm talking to denominational pastors right now, and you're saying, yeah, but now I'm probably going to get kicked out if that's the case. That's all right. Are you kidding me? You'd rather be kicked out, you'd be afraid of being kicked out by man rather than being kicked out by Jesus? You better start getting an eternal view. Who cares about these men? They're going to die. They're going to stand before God and give an account of their judgment of you as their leader, not taking them into the kingdom. You better be concerned about Jesus. Take up your cross and follow him. It's so much better. It's so much greater. And you are free. You are free, 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 free indeed. And thank God for it. In the mighty name. I know a man. I attended a church. I'll say it different. Very large church. And you could tell the pastor was destined to change the world. But church board wouldn't let him preach. Church board wouldn't let him teach. And you're sitting there. You're like, you got it, pastor. Just say it. But he was always holding back. And I showed up for church one Sunday morning. And there was about, it seated about, I don't know, 1,500 people probably. Maybe not, maybe 1,000, I don't know. And there was about 150 people in there. In the world has just happened here. Did everybody go on a mission trip somewhere? And service was done, and one of the elders walked up to me and he said, Brother Cottle, I just want to let you know, I can tell by the look on your face, you're a little confused. And he told me the pastor's name. He said, Pastor so-and-so is, we just had our board meeting last night. And the board said, you got to stop doing this, this, and this. And he said, well, okay, I'm just, I can't preach for you anymore. Because what you're telling me to do is not the word of God. And I can't preach for you. So I resign on the spot. I'll not stand in the pulpit and fake it any longer. You guys have opposed me long enough. I will go preach and do the work that God has given me to do. They said, that's fine. Would you like us to send a church van with you? And they gave him a church van, gave him a sound system. They were glad to have him go because they could no longer, they couldn't control him. They didn't care. 1,000 people went with him. Now you ready for this? Because he got from underneath that authoritative control telling him he couldn't preach the word, he has started, I would imagine, I saw him about 8 years ago, and he had started 50 churches in Africa. He had over like 10 churches in America, started a Bible college. The gift of God got set free because he no longer was believing the doctrines of men and allowing them to tell him what to preach. He opened up this book. And he broke forth the bread of life, not by a manual, not by somebody's theological book, but because I can see that in the New Testament, 95 times the word, what I said, 95 times the word righteousness is used in the New Testament. And I will know what all of those mean. And that is the only message that I am going to preach. And I encourage you to be there. To all of our believers who are listening, I just spoke now for about 20 minutes to pastors. For all of you believers that are with us, we are so proud of you, and we appreciate you so much because you're just the solid backbone of this place, and you're just here, and you shout amen, and you take notes, and you grow, and you develop. You guys have grown so much, and Sister Leanne and I get to see it. We get to be a part of it. And we rejoice with you for the growth that's happened in your life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray. Father, thank you that once and for all, you paid the price and you obtained eternal redemption for us. Once for all. And then you wrote it all in this book. And then you put the author and the inspiration of the whole book on the inside of us to teach us the book from the inside out. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Bless every one of my brothers and sisters, no matter where they are in their spiritual growth. Bless them with life and life more abundantly. Bless them to see and know and understand the word of God. May they be bold. Father, every pastor that I spoke to tonight that is concerned because their organization is telling them you can't preach that and that, and they see it clearly in the word of God, give them courage to stand up and look at them and say, you're wrong and you better repent because I'm going to teach the word of God. And if they have to leave, Lord, I pray they don't have to leave. I pray the board looks at them and says, we repent of our sin. Teach us the truth, Pastor. And they take another body of believers to the next level in God. In the name of Jesus, may it be so. May it be so. May there not be in the sound of my voice one pastor or one person, a body of Christ member that doesn't enter in. Jesus, help us enter in. You're coming soon. You're coming soon. And we're going to stand in front of you and give an account of what we did with you. Oh, Jesus. Help them stand strong and be bold. I know those days. I remember him, Jesus. I declare that same boldness. Peter and John, whatever you telling me, we don't know about you, but this is what we know. With all boldness, we will reach forth our hands to heal. Signs and wonders are going to be done through the name of the Holy Son, Jesus. And I will not back down another step, another day from another person. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Now, it's time for communion. And how we do communion around here is we read the Bible, and we do what the Bible says for communion. Now, if you were a part of our afternoon worship, every afternoon at 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern, we put on a playlist or something of worship that everybody can listen to on YouTube, listen on your own device. And then we go to the family bread and we all talk and communicate and shout, and just like if we were in a worship service together. And today we had the communion service from Lou Engel's Communion Colorado that happened a week ago on Saturday. And it's one of the most amazing communion services you'll ever see. Literally, it's 7 hours long. 7 hours long. It's amazing. Today, we were at hour four, which is where they actually received the broken body and the blood of Jesus. And it was done by an Anglican preacher who's obviously a Holy Ghoster and a born-again, spirit-filled Messianic Jew, and Brother Lou. And the worship in that place is amazing. It's amazing. But if you just go there so that somebody can tip the cup and chew a cracker and, all right, we're done, you're not going to enjoy this. But if you let this hour-long center part right by the communion elements, if you'll sit and you'll go about 25, 30 minutes beforehand, and about 25, 30 minutes, and your life will be inspired and you'll be changed, because this was designed to take the blood of Jesus against the blood of abortion and against the blood of this wicked, perverse sin that's in the nation. And they did it masterfully. I encourage you to go and be a part of it. Today, as they were doing it, the man that was giving it, the Anglican priest, referred to Luke 22. So now I want to go there for our communion process that we have. I encourage you to get you some grape juice. And be determined. Go buy some grape juice. Stick it in the refrigerator. Jesus said the fruit of the vine. And he said bread. I know if you don't have bread, it's all right that you took whatever you did. But to continually not have it because you just don't focus yourself to do it is actually a form of a little bit of resistance or rebellion, then I'm going to do it my way. No, don't do that. Do it Jesus' way. Because the more like him you become, the more like his way you follow, the greater the blessing and the deliverance you get. I got my elements ready right here. My bread and my grape juice. Luke, and so what we're going to do is read the verses of scripture. Then we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. So everybody's right with God. Give you 2 minute teaching. And then we'll receive the elements. Takes us about 12 to 15 minutes to make this happen. Here we go. 22:14. When the hour had come, sat down and 12 apostles with him. Look at this verse. He said to them, with fervent desire, here comes the presence. Wow. I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. With fervent desire. Doesn't it make you wonder and think that Jesus probably wants, has fervent desire that you and I receive this with him every day? Listen to what Jesus says. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And yet he's going to partake with you and I in heaven. 17. He took the cup. He gave thanks and he said, take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink the fruit of the vine till the kingdom comes. He just took a Nazarite vow. Amazing. He took the cup. Took the bread. Thanks, broke it. Gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And then right in the middle of that great holiness, behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Right at the table of the Lord, Jesus is betrayed right there. Now, then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll read verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 27. Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Therefore, let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Well, you won't be guilty of 27 if you just come with a heart ready to receive. It's for those who come mocking, those who come with unforgiveness they refuse to deal with. But if you come and you say, Jesus, I need you in my life to help me make this, and you truly mean it, receive the blood, take the bread and receive the blood. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. He's the head. We're the body. You can't separate it. Perfect love casts out fear, torment, trauma, because there is no fear in love. Love removes and destroys fear. Love does. God's perfect love. So glad you're with us today. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. I can tell I have somebody with me today that says, I'm not supposed to receive communion with anybody but my own church pastor. Except that's not what Jesus said. And that's not what Paul says. That's what your denominational doctrine book says. That is an inferior book to this one. Wherever the body of Christ is broken and his blood shed, you're free to receive it. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me so you're right with God. And if you mean this in the depths of your heart, in 2 minutes, you'll be in perfect relationship with Almighty God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Sister Phyllis.
Oh.
Are you there?
Yeah. Okay.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Now here's where you make your declaration. Be bold. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And on the third day, you rose again just for me.
And on the third day, you rose again just for me.
Put your arms out and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my
with
life.
All the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power. And our sister Phyllis is healed.
Thank you. So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And pray and live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
Welcome to the family of God. You did it. Here you are. You made it. You're right with God. I know. I can tell. Some of you are like, whoa, what's going on the inside of me? Jesus just came in. And when he comes in, all the junk's got to go. Because he never just does something to you. He takes you from to. You just went from sin to righteousness. You just went from fear to faith. You just went from confusion to understanding. Why? Because he now lives in you. You have been made as white as snow. And God came to live on the inside of you. Because we know to lead you in a prayer to say, fill me, and you did. Now, just think about it. Almighty God of heaven and earth now lives on the inside of you. I mean, that's a whole lot better than church or religion, even though you'll be a part of the Christian religion, and you will be a part of a church. But you don't go there to be a church. You don't go there to be a Christian. From this day forward, you walk with God every day of your life. Quit worrying about that be a Christian thing. Walk with God and be a believer. Want to say it with me? I'm a believer, and I walk with
God. I'm a believer.
And I walk with God.
And I walk with God.
See, the greatest thing that could ever be put on your tombstone would be this man, this woman walked with God. Why? Because other people saw it. I didn't want anybody that ever walks down that cemetery to say, must be something different about this one, because their tombstone says they walked with God. Here's the revelation. No matter who you are today, when you wake up in the morning, before you get out of bed, just make this statement. Father, help me walk with you today. What's he going to say? No, he lives in here. He's not a God way out there somewhere trying to get something through your thick skull. That's a false, erroneous doctrine. He lives in here. Might as well believe what the Bible says, not what religion teaches you. You don't have to storm the gates of heaven. He's right here. That's why you bow your head and you pray, seek God. Glory be to God. Welcome to the family. Click like, subscribe, hit the bell, and be a part of what we do every time we come here. Why? Because we're going to lead you in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. This study we're doing right now. This isn't a big fancy study. I don't have fancy flashing things and beautiful boards and all. I like that. As soon as I have a crew of people, we'll have that. But the bottom line is, you and I got to just open the word and get these verses down inside of our life so you can use them like a wrench in somebody else's life. And that's what we're doing. We have a program called Read the Word. If you're brand new to the kingdom, it reads the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation chronologically as it happened in the Bible, pretty close. As it happened in history, it was pretty close. And here's the thing. As you go through it, you will be discipled in the ways of God just by a half an hour a day. And you can go there. It is a playlist on YouTube that you can listen to, and starts in Genesis, and it goes, right now we're in the Gospels of Jesus. There's no way to tell you where we are in the Gospels, because the pattern I'm following is way out of what I think is the biblical order of Jesus' ministry, but it's because they're putting the parables all with the parables and the miracles all with the miracles, and so hey, it's where we are, and it's a good thing. And I encourage you to come and be with us. And I think we're on day 380 or something. 2.5 months left. And we will have read through the Bible out loud, chronologically, all year. And we're glad to have you with us in Jesus' mighty name. Shoot me an email. Send me a message. Say, Pastor, help me walk with God. I'll send you some videos. Got some verses you can study and grow and develop in the things of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, here we go. Let's receive our elements together. Hold your elements up. We'll bless them. You blessing your elements is the best blessing that it can have. Ready? Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
Bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. That you endured the cross, despising the shame. And you have so much available for us. You called it all joy. Now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
I have reconciliation with you, Lord.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed
and
away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become
and
new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Because my Father told me to.
Because my Father told me to.
And I find grace, mercy, and help.
And I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down forever. The
accuser of my brethren is cast down forever.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
And my robes are made white.
And my robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be
the glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his blood shed. And we'll sing our song. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Hold on, Phyllis. Let me modulate it a little bit. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Now, you might say, Pastor, that's a different kind of singing. It's just church singing. You're just used to everybody being perfect on key every time, all the time, no matter what. But you can't do that with the internet because we have that wonderful thing that's called the leg. Now, I keep trying to get Sister Phyllis to sing right in tune with me, but she just seems to stay in the leg. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can rebuke the leg. You can speak no leg. And as of yet...
You can always tell me to shut up.
No, I ain't ever doing that. No.
All right.
No. Why? Because it's church. So our words aren't exactly on. What is that? What is that violating God? Doesn't violate anything. And we get to sing and worship together. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, you got the closing verses, Phyllis?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, when am I going to tell you about the time that...
Tell us right now. Tell us right now.
Okay. My friend Elaine...
And take your time. Take your time.
My friend Elaine and I had gone after church one Sunday afternoon. Anyway, along about 5 o'clock, it was time for us to leave and come up because it was a couple-hour drive. So it started sprinkling as soon as we got in the car to drive home. And a couple of minutes later, it was pouring down rain. And by that time, I was at the interstate where you go up on the turnaround and take your exit and everything. And there's no pulling off to the side of the road because you're up there in the air on the bridge thing. And it was raining so hard, I could not see the road. I just heard the trucks passing by. They weren't worried about the rain. I could not see the road, let alone my exit. So I just cried out, Lord, please stop the rain. I can't see. Well, can tell what my desperate situation was. And so he did what he does. A miracle. He just stopped the rain from falling in front of my car, on my car, on my windshield, in front of me. It was totally like I was going through a tunnel. And there was no water, no rain, or anything on the road in front of me. Like, yeah, if you've ever been on a road that it had just rained on, it's all slippery and everything.
Right.
But that wasn't how it was. It was like dry land.
Wow.
I couldn't help but think this is like the Red Sea. When the Israelites walked across the Red Sea, it was on dry land. There was a wall of water to my left and a wall of water to my right.
Wow.
It was raining cats and dogs on both sides of me on all the highways, except not in front of me. Not in front of me. The road was dry in front of me. I took my exit. It was like a U-turn type of thing and everything.
Yeah.
And it stayed like that for about 10 minutes, long enough for Elaine to go into a tirade oh, my God, I know if I ever get sick, I know who I can come to for prayer. I'm trying to explain to her, honey, I have no time for our prayer, just a screaming help. And God knew what I needed, and he loves you as much as he does me, honey.
Amen.
Because he saved your life. And because I have seen accidents, and I have been in accidents, and I know that it was a matter of life and death. This was not like you watch television and you say, oh, but that's all just put on.
Yeah, right. It was fake.
But this was real life, honey. And I just praise the Lord for saving my life and Elaine's life. And
what a story.
So anyway, we traveled through this perfect dryness. Till it did stop raining after we got out from under the clouds and out from under the rainstorm. And that's the kind of miracle that you never forget.
Yeah. What a testimony that in the middle of a rainstorm, you had dry windshield and dry road. And that's just like God saying, yeah, I can make it happen for you.
And he was smart enough to realize that it didn't really need to stop raining. It just needed to let me be saying.
But what an amazing testimony.
Okay, now I'll go ahead and read June 20-25. Okay, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
Wow.
And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh.
Wow.
Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And I also love the Revelations 1, 5, and 6. And from Jesus Christ, faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And I'm going to add to it Revelation 5, 9, and 10. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals. For you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and nation and people. And here's the verse. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Hallelujah, glory, and blessing, and honor be to him who sits on the throne. Now, while Phyllis was reading that, I just had this communion thought. You know why Jesus gets so excited about why it says, with great desire, I long to take this with you. And I believe it's with great desire he longs to take it with us every night. Because for some people, it's the only time they're going to be right with him. Because they keep searching their heart then. And they come to him. And he's going to meet you every single time and teach you that this is the path. Diligent, fervent seeking of his word that will establish you in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you'll never have to come to him again necessarily to say, I've sinned, Jesus, because you'll have that desire on the inside not to do anything. And you'll learn, you'll by the Holy Spirit of God, you will learn quick to say, Holy Spirit, show me. And then be quick to say, nope, ain't doing that. Nope, ain't doing that. No, get away from me. Because you won't have any desire to be close to the line at all. You'll want to be clear on the other side so that you can truly and very effectively lead your family to the things of God. In Jesus' mighty name. I think I've said the same thing tonight about 42 times.
That's okay.
But it doesn't matter. We're going to keep saying it because people need to see it and understand it in Jesus' mighty name. I'm not a broken record. I'm a determined pastor. And I'm going to help everybody.
That's a good thing.
Say again?
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Brother Osteen would say, until you said it 1,000 times to your congregation, don't feel like you said it once. They would say, but pastor, when will it be enough? And he'll say, when you start getting tired of preaching it yourself, then you'll know you're getting close that they might just now start understanding you. In other words, good pastoring is much repetition. And thank you, Pastor John Osteen, for those wonderful words. in Jesus' mighty name. Well, until we see you again tomorrow night for question and answer session, there will be no noon, there will be no morning prayer in the morning. Until we see you tomorrow night, this is what we have to say. Oh, wait, we got to do this. Put your hands out. Let's pull in the net. Say this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
We pull in the net.
We pull in the net.
Every person that heard us tonight.
Every person that heard us tonight.
We claim their life for the kingdom of God.
We claim their life for the kingdom of God.
And that it comes to them simply. Because your yoke is easy and your burden is light.
Your yoke is easy and your burden is light.
I receive the hundredfold return.
I receive the hundredfold return.
That you promised is ours when we do your work.
That you promised is ours when we do your
so
work.
So we can preach the gospel more and more.
So we can preach the gospel more and more.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you did not hear this morning's morning prayer, go see it. I know I say it to you. But tomorrow morning, we don't have Saturday morning prayer. Pull up our YouTube video on it because it is powerful what God said and did this morning in our morning prayer right here. And you'll thoroughly enjoy it and it'll help you see what we're doing and where God's taking us in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, this is what we say. God bless you, Brother Dan.
God bless you, Brother Dan.
Over there in Blog Talk Radio. God bless you, all of y'all, and YouTube tonight. Sister Phyllis, God bless you. And until we see you again, remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God,
God loves you.
And Jesus
is Lord.
Lord. In Jesus' mighty name.
Good night.